Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy. And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. Folks, we have breaking news in the Gilgo Beach serial killer case. And we're being told by numerous journalistic outlets that suspected Gilgo Beach serial killer Rex Uhrman will be slapped this week with another murder charge related to, as reported by the New York Post, additional victims. They're not saying victims. They're not saying victim singular, they're saying plural. Uhrman will be arraigned on a new indictment Thursday before State Supreme Court Justice Timothy Mazzei in Riverhead. The indictment is related to additional victims, including one found in North Sea, a community in Southampton, which was searched by investigators a few weeks ago. Authorities have also recently focused again on an area in Manorville where partial remains of two Gilgo Beach victims, Jessica Taylor and Valerie Mack, were found over two decades ago. It was unclear if he's expected to be charged with one or both of those murders, according to these sources. News of the fresh charges came after the police conducted another search of Uhrman's Massapequa Park home over several days last month and were pictured hauling out boxes seemingly filled with evidence out of the house. And of course, we know the four women known as the Gilgo Four up on the screen: Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Melissa Bartolome, Megan Waterman, and Amber Costello. So this little finding, this little caper, is very interesting, because if it is connected to Rex Uhrman, things like modus operandi and signature and crime scene staging come into play. And it would indicate that Rex Uhrman's modus operandi and his signature has perhaps evolved over the years. If they can pin these cases to him. Jessica Taylor, her remains were found. I'll put the little map there. Her remains belonging to Jessica Taylor, a 20-year-old woman working as an escort in New York City, were found in a wooded area in Manorville on July 26, 2003. Her additional remains, initially labeled Jane Doe No. 5, were discovered on March 29, 2011 on Ocean Parkway. Valerie Mack was 24 years old and living in Philadelphia when she went missing. She worked as an escort using the alias Melissa Taylor. Relatives last saw Mack in the spring or summer of 2000 in Port Republic, New Jersey, but she was never reported as missing to the police. Her partial skeletal remains were found in Manorville in September 2000, but were initially known as Jane Doe No. 6. More bones were found on April 4th, 2011, along Ocean Parkway. So this, although if this can be connected by evidence to Rex Schumann, it's a great thing. Not just that Rex Schumann will be charged with two or more additional murders, or maybe one additional murder, but for the families of these women. So folks, hold on to your hats. Hold on to your seats. Hold on to your chair, because you're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone, the police off-the-cuff zone. There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped at 10th and Grant's bike by
there. We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
Joining me today to present what we would consider to be good news, but let's not forget, we will officially know of these new indictments or indictment on Thursday. But till then, not everything, the cat isn't totally out of the bag, but some of it is. We know there's a big happening with this case, and it seems, based on all the movement, all the moving parts, that it's good news for the prosecution. Joining me today is retired NYPD Sergeant, Professor at Albertus Magnus, attorney. Welcome to the show, Professor Michael Geary.
Hey, Bill. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for this, watching the show.
You know, Mike, people must think that you have no life, because every time I call you, you're ready to get on the air no matter what time it is, and I appreciate that. And hey, again, no, it's great to see Mike Geary with us during the day. Now, I want to play this. Eyewitness News Channel 7 brings on retired NYPD Chief of Detectives Robert Boyce, and who's a very knowledgeable voice of reason here. Let me play this for you.
One of our big stories, a big update in the investigation into the Gilgo Beach murders.
Yeah, according to Newsday, the suspect in the case, Rex Huerman, is about to be charged with another murder.
To help us dig into the news that is literally breaking this morning, we're joined live by ABC News contributor and former NYPD Chief of Detectives, Robert Boyce. Good to see you. Thank you so much for weighing in on this.
Good morning, all. Good morning, all.
Good morning. What are you surprised by this at all? I know that they continue to investigate him. There were 6 days in his basement, investigators, poking around, trying to see what else might be found. We didn't know why, and now we hear this.
Well, I tell you, it's a seismic change, Michelle. It really is when you look at this case, because now look at the timeline. Late April into May, they do a 9-day search in Manorville. Now, there's two ladies, that match that, Valerie Mack and Jessica Taylor. Their remains were in both locations. So they do a 9-day search. Then they go back to his house at the last week of May and do a 6-day search in the Massapequa Park House. So now, 10 days later, here we go with an indictment, a sealed indictment to be opened hopefully Thursday with a new murder. So look at these cases, and I'm looking at those two ladies right now. Is this part of that? It seems to be.
Okay, to be open Thursday, right, Bob? So you just said that because they've been mum, right? The task force has been mum about what they're doing, what they've found. Prosecutors haven't said a word. So now that we have this new indictment and this arraignment happening on Thursday, will the prosecutors finally speak? Will we finally learn some more?
Well, we should, and that's the whole thing. They've had great case discipline, which means they had no leaks at all in this going forward. So, and the case is developing rapidly. I will throw this out right now. They've had, he's had Newman hundreds of contacts with sex workers. Is this one of those ladies, or is this one of the ones in Gilgo and as well as Manorville? And that's where we're concentrating right now. These are long day searches with a lot of resources, and this is the fruition of those searches. So it'll be really interesting to see Thursday if they name the victim in this case.
And that new task force that has, been formed just for this purpose, they're going to keep going. They will keep I know there was another suspected killer in the same area.
Vitroff.
Are they going to keep trying to assign victims until they can't anymore? Is that their purpose?
Yes, Danny, it is, because here's the issue with Vitroff. He's charged with two. They like him for a third one, which they haven't been able to prove. But he doesn't appear to be it. Obviously, they're charging Huberman. So these ladies, Valerie Mack, Jessica Taylor, they predated the Gilgo Four. They were before that. Additionally, they were dismembered. Those ladies were not. So this is a little bit of a curveball here. We're trying to figure this thing out as it goes along. But apparently, you know, with DNA and all other things, it's emerges very quickly, and the case is moving very quickly. So he's brought in a lot of talent, a lot of investigators into this case. Kudos to him, as well as the Suffolk County Police Department. They've done a great job with this. It's completely changed from what it was. And so now all of a sudden we'll have more information on Thursday, and hopefully some family has a little more justice than they had a few days ago.
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, at this point, he still has pleaded not guilty. We'll see if any of that changes. But as always, thank you so much.
Mike, this is really blockbuster stuff. This is I mean, look, we were all sitting on our hands the other day talking about what are they possibly searching for? They were at that house for 12 days, 10 months ago. Why are they back doing a six-day search back to the house? And we said, if you recall, this has to be connected to the Manor Haven case, the Manor Haven searches that they did about a month or two ago. And they must have found more evidence that they were able to tie Rex Human to additional cases. But what the language used, and of course, that's Valerie Mack in the picture on the screen. There's going to be a fifth indictment. But the question is, in this fifth indictment, are there two bodies? Is it Valerie Mack and Jessica Taylor? And the Post named a potentially third body recovered near Southampton. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Billy, I can't speak about the Southampton one. I'm not familiar with that one. But, you know, these two ladies were found bound in a very particular way, not the same as the Gilgo Four. However, you know, we've talked about this in the past, about the evolving modus operandi that serial killers may engage in. They may not do everything the same throughout their entire career. They may do something one way, and then over the course of months and years, however long they're operating, they may change their modus operandi, do things a little bit differently, hide bodies differently, you know, things like that, act a little bit differently. And that's probably their evolving awareness of the risk they're taking, you know, by disposing of the bodies. But since these two ladies, Ms. Taylor and Valerie Mack, were found fairly near each other in one area of woods where there is some hunting going on, and we do think that Rex Human had been a hunter in the past because we found some of that camouflage burlap in his home, that it could be that he was familiar with that area, and that's where he thought it would be a good place to perhaps dispose of two bodies. I don't know about the Southampton one, but I'm hoping that if they can, if he is indeed indicted for Ms. Mack and Ms. Taylor, it would give, you know, their family, you know, maybe not closure, but a little bit of feeling of justice for their loved ones. And that would be a good thing. But yeah, I think that's what it's about. I think it may be, if they're talking about multiple indictments, not just one, I would think it'd be for Ms. Taylor and Ms. Mack.
When we look up on the screen, of course, these are pretty much all of the additional ones, of course, except the baby that was recovered. From the U.S. Institute of Justice, violent crime scene analysis, modus operandi, signature and staging. And I want to read this. The modus operandi, signature and staging aspects of an offender are discussed in the analysis of crime scenes in terms of human behavior. Learning to recognize crime scene manifestations or behavioral patterns enables investigators to characterize the offender and to distinguish between different offenders committing the same types of offenses. The modus operandi is a learned behavior that evolves over time as offenders gain experience and confidence. The offenders continually reshape their MO to meet the demands of the crime, whereas the signature aspect remains a constant and enduring part of each offender. It may evolve in progression from crime to crime, or elements of the original ritual become more fully developed. The investigator may not always be able to identify the signature aspects as in cases of violent offenses involving high-risk victims.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Or decomposition of the body, which complicates recognizing the signature aspects of an offender. Staging occurs when someone purposely alters the crime scene prior to the arrival of the police. It is done to direct the investigation away from the most logical suspect or to protect the victim or victims. Very interesting, because if indeed the bodies of Valerie Mack and Jessica Taylor come back by some type of evidence, and most likely DNA, to be connected to Rex Heuermann, then his modus operandi has changed quite a bit over the years, hasn't it? Let's not forget, this potentially occurred in the year 2000.
Right.
4 years ago. So was this the Rex Heuermann of 2000, a man who dismembered bodies? A man who tied them up as if it was an animal, as a hunter would do. And the staging part is also included. He dismembered these bodies. Why did he dump parts of their bodies near the Gilgo crime scenes? Again, was that done to throw off the police? There's right there, you have the three elements, modus operandi, signature, and stage. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Billy, things evolve. People, if this is done by Heuermann back in 2000, when these girls went missing and the other girls disappeared later on, he may have thought in the beginning, and you're trying to think from a killer's perspective, from a criminal's perspective, rather than a law enforcement perspective, dismembering the body, taking the hands helps thwart identification of the corpse. So, and maybe their feet also. So that's a sign that this person's very intelligent. They know what time it is in terms of law enforcement efforts. And so he may have, if this is Heuermann, may have put them in an area where maybe he had hunted before. He tied them up Maybe that's instinctive. If he's a deer hunter, or I guess you tie an animal up a certain way or that sort of thing. And so he did that. And perhaps over the course of a number of years, he decided, I can't go back there. I don't want to go back there. It may, there's too many hunters there in the location. Maybe I got to find someplace else. And he evolved. And rather than tie them up, they would be taped, duct taped. They'd be wrapped in burlap. And then they'd be put in a sand dune under a lot of vegetation along that the Sunrise Highway. I'm not sure. I'm not very familiar with Long Island, that highway nearby. So therefore, yeah, as he's maturing in his processes and as he's trying to figure out the best way to get away with this, maybe figuring that, you know, being in an area where there's a lot of hunting, although he's familiar with it, may not be a good thing. So he then evolves and tries to thwart law enforcement by doing other things, which sometimes, you know, that could go to his credit because people may think, oh, you have two killers, not just one, because there's maybe some very, there's a lot of differences. However, due to the decomposition, it really makes it very difficult because you don't know that, you know, there's homicidal violence, but you don't know how the homicidal violence took place. If you don't find a bullet somewhere in the vegetation underneath the body, you don't know if this person was strangled, perhaps, or if they were their throat was slit. You don't know. So it makes it really difficult. So in these kind of cases, when you don't have a body that's intact, that that long time outdoors, nature just takes over and it actually destroys a lot of evidence.
You know, Mike, one of the things I also find very interesting about this, of course, is that if this is connected to Rex Heumann, this puts him killing in 2000, in the year 2000, mm-hmm. right. or the early 2000s.
Right.
It puts him murdering people. So my question is, and many of the people in our chat would probably agree, how many other people has he killed that they just have not found the bodies yet that could be connected to this man? Rex Heumann is, I believe, 60 years old, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you do the math. He was 46 in, excuse me, 36. He'd be 36 yeah. in the year 2000. That's still, he could have started way before that too.
Right. He could have started in the 80s. Yeah. You don't know.
So this sort of opens up a Pandora's box, not only of more questions, but what ifs? What if he started even many, many years before this? Very scary. I want to play this on the screen. You see this? It's Valerie Mack.
Troubled life. And now she's forever linked to the elusive Long Island serial killer known as Lisk.
Today, we are announcing that Jane Doe number 6 has been positively identified as Valerie Mack. Valerie Mack, who was 24 years old in 2000 when she went missing, she was working as an escort in Philadelphia at the time of her disappearance.
Mack's torso was discovered by hunters in some woods near Manorville, Long Island in November 2000. She was last seen in Port Republic, New Jersey, 181 miles away from Manorville. 11 years later, Mack's other remains turned up on Ocean Parkway during the Gilgo Beach investigation. The FBI put Jane Doe's DNA into a public genealogy site, and investigators found Valerie Mack's aunt.
This led homicide investigators and federal agents to areas of New Jersey.
Investigators learned Mack had a son, now in his 20s, and that her life was a sad one. Separated from her parents at a young age, she was moved around in foster care and ultimately adopted. Before her death, she had 3 prostitution arrests. Valerie Mack's fate was sadly similar to that of sex worker Jessica Taylor, whose torso was also found in Manorville in the year 2003, with other remains discovered on Ocean Parkway in the spring of 2011, just like Mack's. Valerie Mack was last seen alive 17 miles from Atlantic City. So we asked Commissioner Hart if her case could be connected to 4 murdered sex workers found in a ditch behind the Golden Key Motel.
That was determined to not have been connected to the Google Beach case. So I don't want that was this is a dated video, but it was definitely not connected. So let's not even talk about that. But very, very interesting, right? And again, when we talk about the commonality and what makes things patternable and what makes things the MO make sense and the signature make sense, well, modus operandi, Rex Heumann did things a certain way. And one of, you could say, part of his signature was escorts. All these women so far were escorts, right? He didn't deviate outside that population. Psychosexually, and I am by far no serial killer expert, but that says something about him, about who he chooses and why he chooses. Because the psychosexual part of murdering is sexually related in a serial killer like Rex Heumann.
Yeah, Billy, you know, we've seen this throughout the years with other the Green River Killer, you know, the Jack the Ripper, you know, going after prostitutes. They tend to be the safest victims for killers because many of them come from broken homes. Many of them are young. Many of them are out on their own. They don't have contact with their blood relatives. They may go missing for 6 months and no one may miss them. They may get on a bus and go from one city to another. They don't have good communication with friends and family. And so, you know, the question in my mind is, you're talking about this and we're looking at those four poor ladies that were killed and bodies dumped behind that motel, that broken down motel in Atlantic City, is, you know, how often did he contact sex workers? And out of all of them, how many did he let live? And why did he kill this group that we think that he's responsible for? What is it about these girls that were different from others? You know, did he contact 200 people over the course of 20 years and kill 8? Or did he only contact 8 and kill them all? Very difficult, but these ladies are out there and they don't have the supports, familial supports and things like that. So if they go missing, maybe nobody's going to call them in. Their missing person report. So they could be, their bodies could be left decomposing and for months. And as you know, and as I know, and as Phil knows, you know, that destroys a lot of evidence because you lose evidence to nature and it really messes everything up from the standpoint of an investigator. Yeah, it's really sad, but they are some of the most vulnerable people out there. And when guys are looking to dominate and kill and hurt people and get away with it, that's a target that they may feel very safe, you know, accosting and raping and killing.
You're 100% correct, Mike. And one of the things, look, this was a picture from last week. After they did the search in Manorville, that must have bore fruit. By saying bore fruit, they must have collected some items that directly or indirectly connected to Rex Heumann. You heard earlier on that one video how Valerie Mack was identified.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Via familial DNA, matched it up to an aunt, and that's how they found out who she was. So the technological advances in the science of DNA, unbelievable. Unbelievable, the things that they can do that they couldn't do 20 years ago. And now we're connecting these cases to this, as Rodney Harrison described him, this monster, Rex Heuermann. And if you look in that empty face of him with his new haircut for court, you know, and his freshly shaved cuts on his face look in court, he still has that blank look, that blank stare of a killer, you know. And yes, he's innocent till proven guilty. But the evidence is mounting. And we ask, the second search warrant, what did they collect in that second search warrant? And again, we're just hearing things because the police are being very closed-mouthed about what they've recovered and what it means and who is it connected to. But the New York Post, in their report, indicated that possibly it's two, Jessica Taylor and Valerie Mack, and a third body. And that the fifth indictment, that would indicate one person. But that the fifth indictment is a report that is somehow leaked. So we don't know if the indictment's going to include multiple victims, which would be, if it was, as the New York Post reported, there would be three more victims. Mike?
Yeah, Bill, looking at the search that they did for his home, that was an excellent follow-up search because they went back to Manorville, maybe going through a lot of records and a lot of information they got from the search of his home last summer. They're going through it. Remember how long they were there for, like 2 weeks, taking out truckloads of stuff. That takes time to go through. And so maybe they got to a point where they found something that connects him back to Manorville and those two bodies. And so they went back to Manorville recently because they made the connection, went back there and redid an entire search of that area. Maybe they found some sort of a piece of jewelry that maybe was connected to something that they found at Rex's home. Maybe there was some human remains like bones or something like that. You know, we don't know. And it'll be great to find out on Thursday what the actual connection is that got them to the probable cause to arrest him and indict him on, you know, these other charges. But your guess is as good as mine. I'm thinking because the crime lab was there and they went back to that house. They did a second search perhaps and found, you know, they made that connection. It took a long time. These cases, as you know, these cases aren't solved overnight. These things may take years to go through with all the information that we have And therefore, my guess is it could be a bone, it could be a piece of jewelry, something like that, maybe a hair follicle, whatever it happens to be. Not a lot, not a lot, but something, one or two little things that got them from, we think, to probable cause. And that's a good thing.
100%. Jacqueline Ha, Bill, I missed the connection to Manaville. Did Rex have property there? No, Manaville was a huge, just fields and fields of woods, miles and miles. And the bodies of Valerie Mack and Jessica Taylor were recovered there, as well as they were cut up. So they were also found where the Gilgo bodies were found. So that's, and initially, and they were listed as Jane Doe's, both of them. And through DNA technology, they were able to identify them in the, you know, as part of this investigation. The FBI, with their genetic investigative genetic genealogy, where these labs are just doing unbelievable work that couldn't be done years ago, but it's being done right now. Folks, this is Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. If you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, you're in the right place. And if you're not subscribed to us, just hit that subscribe button. It's free. Give us a thumbs up. Hit the like button. Share us with your friends and your family. Also, if you want to contribute to us financially, we have a Patreon with four different levels. We have a YouTube channel memberships, which is growing and growing, with five different memberships. And we appreciate all of our fans, our friends, our subscribers that keep this show going and growing. And I thank you guys all for that. I'm going to play this video. This tells a lot in this video that may answer some of your questions.
Jessica Taylor's head and hands were cut off when she was found in Manorville 20 years ago. Investigators finding them on Ocean Parkway in 2011. She was an escort working in New York City, reported missing out of Washington, D.C. She was identified by a tattoo the killer failed to fully scrape off her hip.
When she says that the killer failed to fully scrape off her hip, that means he tried to do that. He tried to scrape off an identifier off Jessica Taylor's hip so that she wouldn't be ID'd. So again, getting back to modus operandi, signature, and staging. Would that be considered a part of staging, trying to destroy evidence so that a victim could be identified, Mike?
Yeah, Billy, it can, because, you know, you've seen a million homicides, Phil, me. You know, how many people are going to take the time and the effort to cut off someone's hands, their feet, their head? That takes time. It takes effort. Now you've got body parts. You have the torso. I don't mean to be disgusting or graphic, but you have to hide that torso. Okay. Now you're making it hard of yourself, because now you have to hide hands, feet, and a head also. So now you've got two different ways to that you can get caught if you're not very careful. So now you've got that. This person is doing this, is very methodical. They're very smart. They're thinking ahead, you know, to what may happen with law enforcement. If you get a torso, especially 20 years ago in the early 2000s, you know, it may be deteriorated. The DNA technology at that time may not have been is not nearly as good as it is today. You may have a body, part of a body, and nothing else. If the feet or hands end up washed up somewhere, you may not be able to get, you know, fingerprints because of the deterioration of the skin. So therefore, this person is doing this. And then you see another body that the same thing has happened. That shows you the commonality. And that can be part of that, you know, signature of the killer, that this is what they do. Because not only do you kill in a certain type of person, in a certain area, but you also dispose of them in a certain way. And how you do it is by taking the time to do all those little things that maybe nobody who is nearly as smart does. And therefore, you're hiding, and maybe you get a higher rate of success in your homicide. But yeah, absolutely. Because you don't see too often where someone's a killer and they dismember the body. That takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of forethought. And usually someone just wants to get the hell out of there as fast as they can, and they don't take the time to do this. This shows me that the killer felt relaxed enough to take the time to do this. And they were in an area where they could not be seen. There would be no witnesses. So therefore, this is a very smart and methodical killer. Definitely.
Absolutely. From the chat, Ali Books. Sergeant Bill, he purchased the camera in 2009 from my job. Do you think he could have 10 pictures of his victims? And I wonder if they found any pictures or cameras. Ali Books, great question. And guess what? If the police did, they're not telling us. But right, you can be sure that if they did, that will be used as additional investigative evidence. And if it is, in fact, evidence to help their case in prosecuting him. In additional evidence, I mean, as could there be pictures on a camera or cameras of unidentified victims? And that could absolutely help to keep this investigation going and to find potential victims that are no longer with us. Gina Marie from the chat. I wonder if he keeps any trophies from the victims.
I was just thinking the same thing.
You know, Gina Marie, I would almost guarantee he does. I didn't take part in any of these searches of his home, of the storage facilities he had, of his job. Just think about the burner phones he had. One of the burner phones was, being used to talk back and forth, of course. Couldn't that be almost like a trophy? Because he didn't get rid of them. When he was arrested, the police recovered them. Because don't forget, a trophy is used to relive the thrill of what he finds thrilling, which is killing. So that could be considered a trophy also. Nicole LeBlanc, I would be willing to bet that results came back on some items that obtained in the first search of Rex Heumann's residence that linked him to Manaville. Hence the new searches of Manaville and Rex Heumann's house. Nicole, very intuitive. I think you're 100% right with that. You know, that's why I think certain aspects of this case also cloud up the case a little bit, And specifically, I don't think you have to draw a picture. There was a former escort that said she had dated Rex Heumann. And I don't know if, in fact, that woman was really telling the truth or really seeing things clearly. The same thing with some of the information that Attorney John Ray came forward with about the swingers that came to Rex Heumann's house and that his wife, Asa Ellerup, knew. I don't know if that is just the figment of someone's imagination reporting this. And because there wasn't great detail in it, if you noticed. But now this is evidence that will connect point A to point B to point C to point D. And that if you use this evidence in a court of law, that is what gets someone convicted, not quadruple hearsay from 30 years ago. That's really hard to vet that information. Very difficult to do. Let me go back to the recording here.
Serial killers whose motives are sexual have a fair number of commonalities. One is the desire to inflict pain and suffering.
Jessica Taylor and Valerie Mack, another dismembered victim found in Manorville, were tied to the Gilgo Beach serial killer or killers. Two law enforcement sources told me they were tied up in a very cruel way. One saying their leg area was bound in a ball. You'd have to be a hunter to do something like that.
Mike, that is 100% a signature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they find knots on the Gilgo Beach bodies that were, remember, wrapped in the burlap? Mm-hmm. Did they find knots that were similar or the same as these Manaville bodies of Jessica Taylor and Valerie Mack? They're saying it a hunter. Well, experts in knot tying can identify certain knots, and sometimes The knot will identify you as someone that had nautical training, someone right. that had military training, someone that was a hunter. So these are questions, and good questions to have when you're looking at a serial killer and his modus operandi, signature, and staging, because this absolutely involves staging, since he cut up the bodies and moved parts to a different location. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Billy, you know, we are all creatures of habit. We do certain things every single day the same way. We like our coffee the same way, our tea the same way, our breakfast the same way. And when you're a criminal, you do things the same way. You commit a robbery. You wear a certain jacket because it feels comfortable. You do it in a certain area, and you escape to a subway station nearby, take the elevated train, whatever it happens to be. We all, because we want to feel comfortable, we want to do things pretty quickly. And what we do pretty quickly is things that are kind of like this muscle memory and memory within the way we do things. And so therefore, we don't have to think, oh my God, how do I commit this robbery? How do I get away with it? And same thing here. This person is going to kill. They want to dispose of the body. They're going to do it a certain way quickly. They're going to dispose of the body parts. They're going to hide it in a certain area that they feel comfortable with. They don't want to sit there and go, okay, I've got a body over here and I've got parts over here. How the heck do I figure out what to do? No, they've got it figured out. They're going to do something that makes them feel comfortable, go someplace where they know they won't be seen. And that is something, a place where you've probably been there before. So you know the layout. You know, if you're going in on a very dark night to a wooded area, you don't want to get, you don't want to lose track of where you are. You'll get lost if you don't know the area very well. So you go to an area that you know. So that would make sense, because we do know that Heuermann was a hunter. Maybe ducks or whatever he was. On deer, I have no idea, but he was a hunter, had that burlap. So therefore, you know, that is a part of how everyone does their job, whatever that job happens to be, lawful or unlawful. We do the same thing every day. And little things are all circumstantial evidence. The fact that there's burlap, the fact that there's tied up in a certain way, the fact that there may be duct tape, the fact that they may be in an area by in a sand dune, the fact that they are in a wooded area, if there's certain knots that are used. You take all those little pieces of circumstantial evidence, and in and of themselves, by themselves, separated from everything else, are not powerful. But you stack them one on top of another, and you see the commonality, and that therefore gives law enforcement the idea correctly that we are searching for one person, and one person who may be a hunter. Okay, if you think that you're going after a hunter, that takes out a lot of people from the possible suspect list. If somebody does something that shows that they have military training, that takes out a whole lot of people and just narrows the focus down. All these little things help figure out in some way, in some small little measured way, who you're looking for. So all those little things like tying knots and tape, that's all good stuff for police to use.
Mike, someone from the chat, Milwaukee Civilian, has a question. When serial killers collect souvenirs, do they tend to have an MO for the type of souvenirs they take?
From the little I know of, like, say, the BTK killer, I know he'd like to take driver's licenses and things like that, some jewelry, because they want to see the picture of the person. Because if you kill someone 20 years later, you might not remember what they look like, but if you've taken their photo of them, from their driver's license, or you take jewelry, it's tactile. You can touch it. And so they want to take small things, maybe a scarf, maybe a ring from them, something they could hide fairly easily in a shoebox, you know, in a floorboard in their basement or their attic or in a storage facility where, you know, nobody's going to see it but them. Nobody else knows it's there but them. And they can go back to it and visit it on occasion. And we saw this with the BTK killer. His family thought it was kind of weird that sometimes he would like to go out to like this in his backyard. I think he had some sort of little, almost like a little treehouse that his kids played in. But sometimes he'd want to go out there by himself. And the thought was that he was going there and touching the things that he had taken from previous victims and reliving it in his mind as he would touch it, think about it, get excited about it, get feeling like, oh, hey, I'm younger. I can do this again. You know, you get all that little bit of rush and joy from having, you know, totally dominated someone and hurt someone and killed them and then gotten away with it. And so, yeah, small things that they could, that are really portable, that they could take away, that are really personal to someone, like jewelry, you know, things like that. That's what they usually want, things like that.
You know, Mike, we had Dr. Joni Johnston on the show a while ago, right, a serial killer expert. And I think these souvenirs are taken for the sexual gratification they get from it. They relive this thing. And all serial killers, the act of killing and all this whole thing is related to a psychosexually warped mind. And so when we talk about souvenirs, yes, I think that that's, look, it's risky to take souvenirs. You're taking evidence that's can and will implicate you when it's time for you to get arrested. So I would almost guarantee, and we don't know, but the Suffolk County Police, the Gilgo Beach Task Force, has souvenirs. Don't forget, they probably collected tractor trailers full of evidence in this case.
That's right.
And none of that has leaked, to their credit. It hasn't leaked. But I will almost guarantee you that they have souvenirs connected with Rex Heuermann because, look, the modus operandi, the signature, was pretty steady. Except if these cases are linked to Rex, it changes many things with the modus operandi. But as we learned, modus operandi is a learned behavior.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
So did he learn somewhere along the way that cutting up these bodies wasn't the way to go? rather killing them maybe at another location and just dumping them was probably the better way to do it and not get caught. So did he evolve over time, as serial killer experts will tell us, in regards to modus operandi? Is that what occurred? Let me get back to this, Mike, and then we'll get, this is so fascinating.
Second source said the knees were brought into their chest area. We talked to the second source about two men who have been discussed in connection to the Mack Taylor murders. Convicted killer John Bitroff, a carpenter who lived in Manorville and went to prison in 2017 for killing two sex workers in the early 90s. And Rex Huerman, the Midtown architect who allegedly picked up some of his escorts in Manhattan before murdering them. He is charged in connection with the Gilgo Four, whose bodies were intact and bound in burlap. One source said of Bitroff and the Manorville bodies, "We're looking at him very closely, but we're not ruling out Huerman." The Suffolk County District Attorney, though, is not commenting on law enforcement theories about the Gilgo others. We met him in Massapequa Park when the search of Rex Huerman's home was finished up on Tuesday after 12 days.
Our investigation.
She's, of course, referring to the search 10 months ago. Okay, mm-hmm. This is a dated. So they finished 10 months ago. They finished a 12-day search. And this, of course, is the district attorney, Ray Tierney.
You know, focused on the Gilgo Four. We're going to continue to investigate that case, prepare that case for trial. And we have our investigation now has become public, obviously. And also it's broadened. So we're going to look at the other instances where bodies were recovered in that area as well.
The DA said lab experts will now look for trace DNA, blood, and hair fibers in the massive amounts of evidence taken out of Rex Huerman's house in Massapequa Park. That could take quite some time, the DA pointing out this week. It's not like live TV.
Amazing. You know, so we, of course, live in a culture of immediate gratification. We all want immediate gratification. So what do we know? What does that tell us? Well, 10 months ago, we know that the Suffolk County Police, the Gilgo Beach Task Force, the Suffolk County DA, the FBI, the New York State Police, the Suffolk County Department of Corrections, I named all the components that are part of the Gilgo Beach Task Force, they did a 12-day search warrant on Rex Huerman's house, his vehicle. They did a search on his storage facilities, on his offices. What did they find? Well, no one's telling us, but they know. They do know. So is there a nexus between Manorville and some of the evidence they collected in that 12-day search? Or was there a nexus between Manorville and potential DNA belonging to Rex Huerman on what they collected in Manorville? You know, one of the things I thought of, and I know it's a little bit macabre, if this is in fact Rex Huerman that cut up the bodies of Valerie Mack and Jessica Taylor, did he do it right in the woods? And therefore, was there evidence left there of that happening in the woods? So those are some of the questions I have, but there's no doubt in my mind that Manorville was the catalyst that led them to do a second search warrant on Rex Huerman's home. Mike.
Yeah, Billy, I don't believe in coincidences too often. So I think absolutely Manorville, you know, between what they've processed for the last, you know, almost a year now at his home, Massapequa Park, and, you know, what they saw in Manorville, maybe they were double checking and they may have found something else. And it just, and they went back to the house. They got went before the grand jury. And I compliment the task force for their ability to get things done quickly. And people don't realize this is actually going rather quickly, especially when you're doing genetic DNA testing and having to wait for the results. So this is actually going very quickly. And this only goes to show you what can happen when everyone is on the same page of music rather than the old Burke style of doing things. Here you have the state troopers, you have the FBI, everybody's on the same page and working very quickly. And it's fantastic. But yeah, there is no doubt in my mind that Manorville and his home, there was some new revelations that give them maybe not a lot, but enough to get to probable cause. And, you know, for poor Valerie Mack and maybe Ms. Taylor. Yeah, no coincidence. Absolutely. There's a definite connection. I can't wait till Thursday to find out what the connection is. But I don't think it's much more than just a few little bits of DNA technology or something like that, maybe a trophy, something like that, but not a lot.
From the chat, Stork Deliveries, no, he would have been seen. If you know what Manorville is like, it's pitch dark, miles and miles and miles of woods. So he could have went in there without being seen and did whatever he did in those woods at nighttime without being seen. He kept victims in his house for a while. When his family was out of town, he called their families from the victims' phones. You're mixing two things up, Stork Deliveries. He called the victims' families one time using one of the victims' phones. But because it appeared that he did the murders when his family was out of town, doesn't mean he necessarily did it inside the house. Did he do it inside the house? Maybe. But after all these years, was there still forensic evidence in the Massapequa Park home that they've connected to Manor Haven? Let me just pull this up on the screen here. This was about 2 months ago, I believe.
And helicopters and dogs and state troopers.
A new search by police in Manorville, an area of Long Island where body parts related to the Gilgo Beach murders had been found in the past. Mystery surrounds why police are scouring the area and whether it could be connected to the investigation into Rex Huerman, who's been connected to the Gilgo Four. Thanks for joining me for Crime Fix. I'm Anjanette Levy. There was some really big news on Long Island when police started searching a wooded area in Manorville. If Manorville sounds familiar, it's because it's the area where remains belonging to Jessica Taylor and Valerie Mack were found. Some of their remains, of course, were also found on Ocean Parkway on Gilgo Beach. Now, no one has ever been charged in their murders. Several New York media outlets, quoting sources, say this search is related to the Gilgo Beach murder investigation. Rex Huerman, an architect from Massapequa Park in Long Island, is charged with the murders of the Gilgo Four. They, of course, are Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Melissa Bartholomew, Megan Waterman, and Amber Costello, four sex workers who were found wrapped in camouflage burlap. Huerman has denied the charges. Here's his lawyer, Michael Brown.
You're talking about a gentleman who has never been arrested before. He's a productive member of society. He's going to work every day. He's supporting his family, and he's incarcerated.
I wonder what Michael Brown will say after Thursday. Will he be extolling the innocence of Rex Huerman after one more indictment? Will he be still selling that pitch that Rex Schumann's never been arrested before? He's baffled as to why. Listen, he cannot be baffled. If anyone's read this 32-page bail application, no one's baffled, nor is he, nor is his attorney, that he's being charged with four murders of what's been known as the Gilgo Four. And if a fifth indictment drops on Thursday, he's never been arrested before, and he's baffled as to why he's being held in prison, in jail. You know, no one's buying that nonsense. It's just ridiculous, Mike.
Bill, Mr. Brown has a very difficult job, and he has to say that he's bound by the law of ethics to vigorously, work for his client to do everything possible within the bounds of his ethical obligations, zealously advocate for his client. That's the words they use in the canon of ethics. He has to do it. He may not believe it, but he has to do it because he's bound to. He has to try and in every way, present the best defense that he can for his client. It's a very difficult job in this case because you've got a task force. This isn't like someone said this and someone said that, and you've got two people arguing over a fact. No, there's a lot of scientific evidence involved in this case, DNA, a lot of evidence from phones and things like that. So therefore, he's got his work cut out for him. But I don't envy him in any way, shape, or form. He's got to get before the cameras and say, my client is innocent, and we are looking forward to very quickly getting into court and, proving innocence. He has to do it. We may not think that it's very realistic, but he's got to do it. He's got no choice.
100%. This is the search as we know it, the most recent search, and everyone's baffled as to what the heck happened here. This is his house with the
state. Home of murder suspect Rex Huerman. You can see the look right here. This is a live picture coming in from the Massapequa Park home in Nassau County. A familiar look since the beginning of this investigation. And we saw those authorities lining the streets in the neighborhood, of course, irritating a lot of the neighbors after they were there for several days. Kristen Thorne has been all over this. Kristen, what do we know right now about this new search?
Well, the Suffolk DA is not saying anything, which is not uncommon, right? They're not going to tell us why exactly they are there. But when you look at those pictures, it looks exactly like it did a year ago. That's right. Why I had to ask, is this the current scene? So if you're looking at this and you go, this looks exactly like it did July 14th of last year. No, this is now. This is current pictures of them, again, blocking off the street. Looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Why they're there? Look, they're looking for something. Obviously the case is still ongoing. They are still producing evidence, trying to find their evidence in this case. So clearly there is something there they're looking for. What they're looking for, though, is the question. When they were there a year ago, and I can't believe it's been a year, that house was stripped down to really the boards. I mean, right. They went through the yard. They went through the basement. Mm-hmm. They went through everything. We saw the pictures of how torn apart the house was. So what are they looking for is the question. Look, as this trial eventually gets underway, Rex Huerman is due back in court, by the way, June 18th. We will know why they're there. They're going to tell us when we went back on this date, that's what we were there looking for. This is what we obtained during that. But right now, we just don't know. I did reach out to Rex Huerman's attorney, Michael Brown, to see if he has any comment about this. So I'm waiting to hear back from him.
And his family still lives there, right?
Yeah, as far as I know. You know, I swung by the house maybe about 3 weeks ago because I was in the area, and there was a note up on the door basically saying, please do not come in, do not approach. So clearly there were signs of life because there was a sign there on the door. So
amazing to me that the family still lives there. It's like, this is like the dungeon, the famous dungeon where, and we don't know, but potentially murders occurred inside this house, yet the family's still living there. It just, I find that to be a little bit bizarre, and I believe that the wife and the kids probably, they read too. They hear everything too. Just read that 32-page bail application, and just some of the evidence in there is just overwhelming to this case. So from the chat, sad house, they say when people live like that, it's a sign of severe mental illness. We all know this is far beyond mental illness. Not saying anything about people with mental illness. Don't worry, you're not hurting our feelings, but I happen to agree with you. I also happen to agree, or I put it out there, and I've said a number of times, I would find it hard to believe that Rex Huerman's wife, Asa Ellerup, and I hope I'm saying it correctly because I get killed in the chat. You didn't say her name right. Sorry, Asa Ellerup, that she didn't know anything about Rex's aberrant behavior. I'm not saying about the killings, but he was apparently spending all his money on sex workers. I mean, look at the house. He obviously wasn't spending money on renovations or on painting or on structural things to do with that house. So this man you see on the screen, this ogre, as they describe him as, this architect that owned his own business in New York City, clearly lived two or three different lives, right? the life of the architect in the city, the life of the neighbor who lived in Massapequa Park, and the life of the man who spent thousands and thousands of dollars on escorts. And the man, if he's convicted, that is the Long Island serial killer. And the evidence that they will present Thursday in his hopefully fifth indictment for murder will tell us more about this man, Rex Heuermann. And what did they find in this second search in his home in Massapequa? They were there for 6 days. What did they recover? Did what they find connect them to any of these people you see on the screen in this map of the Gilgo Beach serial killings? Where the bodies were recovered? What else did they learn? What else did they learn from the first search warrant? What other evidence that they have? As you, some of you guys suggested, did he take trophies? Did he take souvenirs from the location? Only the police know the answer to that question, because we have no crystal ball into the evidence they collected. Did they collect souvenirs? Did they collect evidence? Every piece of jewelry, every female panty that they may have found in that house had to be considered potentially evidence. His little alleged gun safe or dungeon, whatever you would have him believe, downstairs. What was in that? This second search, did they dig the basement up? We don't know. We don't know. What did they collect? Apparently, if you believe the leaks, and I don't always take great great proof that a leak is accurate, but so many times it is accurate, right? Mm-hmm. Did they focus on the basement in the second search warrant? Is that where they focused on? Potentially. And did they connect any of the evidence on the second search to Manaville and to potentially Valerie Mack, right? And Jessica Taylor. And they're claiming there was a third body recovered in Southampton that potentially we could hear about on Thursday also. These are, you know, the plot thickens, as we say. Mike.
Yeah, Billy, this is a good thing. The DNA, the cell phone technology that has evolved from way, way faster than we ever saw on our job when we were there is really wonderful, because with small little bits of information, you could build a good case against someone, you know, rather than have to rely on eyewitnesses who may have thought they saw something 40 years ago or 25 years ago. This is good stuff, and it can clear up a lot of cases which in the past would never, ever have been solved or prosecuted. And so that's wonderful for everyone concerned. So therefore, you know, looking back, we may get a lot of answers to our questions about what the Long Island serial killer, how many possible people, we may not know all, but how many possible people he may have killed. Look, the thing I just, you just mentioned trophies. Yeah, he's a hoarder in many ways. I think he would weaken a little bit and take that little piece of information, that little, maybe the driver's license, the jewelry, whatever it happens to be, a scarf, whatever, a ring. He would take that risk because he's driven to take that risk so he could relive his fantasies, because that's a lot of what this is about. This is a great development. And on Thursday, we're going to have a lot more information about what they found and how they found it and how they put it together. So, It's a really good thing, and we should all be ready to get back here on Thursday to see what more we can find out.
Absolutely. I want to play this report from Eyewitness News, and then
in the investigation into the Gilgo Beach serial killer murders, suspect Rex Heuermann now due back in court this week. In the case, he's currently charged with murdering four women. Newsday is reporting There's more to come. Eyewitness News reporter Darla Miles live outside his home in Massapequa Park with what we now know. Darla?
Sandra, this is a big development. According to Newsday, Rex Heuermann will be back in court on Thursday for an indictment on an additional murder charge. And as you mentioned, that comes after a significant search here of his Massapequa Park home that happened just a week ago. Now, Eyewitness News was on the ground and overhead in Newscopter 7 with that search that started on Monday, May 20th. It lasted 7 days through that Saturday night. And that search focused on the basement. We had New York State Police, the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office, and other law enforcement partners here on the scene. They set up a considerable presence during that seven-day search. They set up a tent in the front yard and brought out a considerable amount of evidence. The May search here of the Massapequa Park home followed a search in April of a wooded area in Manorville. And here is the connection. Two of the Gilgo Beach victims, two of the dismembered remains found in 2011, parts of those remains were also found in a wooded area in Manorville in 2000. So there's an 11-year time span, and analysts say this could be a significant break in the solving the additional murders that are unsolved in this case.
Well, I tell you, it's a seismic change, because now look at the timeline. Late April into May, they do a 9-day search in Manorville. Now, there's two girls who from Gilgo, two ladies, excuse me, that match that, Valerie Mack and Jessica Taylor.
The Suffolk County District Attorney's Office not releasing any official information at this time. They're only saying the appearance on Thursday will be Gilgo related. Before this news today, Rex Heuermann was only expected back in court on June 18th. So this is an advance appearance for Rex Heuermann. Again, a potential big development in the Gilgo Beach serial killings. Again, while Rex Heuermann has been indicted on four of the murders, there are six of those that remain unsolved, and more answers may come on Thursday when he returns to court in Riverhead. Reporting live in
So, again, Thursday is the day we will find out the genie will come out of the bottle on Thursday. However, one of the things I want to mention, because it's mentioned so many times by so many people that cover this case, is we go back into the history of this investigation, and there's some bad history. And of course, we bring you back to Chief James Burke and the way that this case was investigated early on, perhaps caused it to last as long as it did. Because if the investigation would have been done as diligently and as expertly as it has been done in the past 2 years, this case would have been solved much quicker and thus maybe saved some lives and saved some suffering. And Mike and I did a show about what will Rex Heuermann's defense be. And of course, we feel that his defense is going to go right after Chief James Burke and the way the investigation was solved and the way James Burke lived his life. But it's really all smoke and mirrors. It's all a smoke screen. When you get evidence like this that they've developed in Manorville, and we don't know what it is, but obviously there's a nexus between what they found in Manorville and the second search at Rex Heuermann's house, where apparently focused on the basement. They don't just do that for their health. They do that because it's going to bear fruit in this investigation. So if they come up with, they're going to come up with another indictment on Thursday. Is it an additional murder? Is it three more murders? We don't know. And the Suffolk County District Attorney, Ray Tierney, has his lips sealed until Thursday. And the other folks are not talking either. Mike.
Yeah, Billy, the good thing about this case is even though it has lasted a long time and even though everyone has to deal with Chief Burke, the fact that the gist of this in the case is going to come down to the scientific evidence. So long as Ray Tierney can explain to the jury how significant the DNA matches are and that sort of thing, and have someone from that understands cell phone technology and can explain it to jurors who don't have that sort of technological expertise, you could mitigate a lot of the damage that Michael Brown may do by calling into question the investigation as it was early on. And even as bad as that was, and it was bad that it was so lax and not even done well, the fact that you have that one instance where one of the victims, well, I can't remember her name, but I apologize. Rex met her and her boyfriend, and they saw like the vehicle.
Amberlynn Costello.
That's it. Thank you. Amberlynn Costello. For all of that and how ridiculously poor the investigation was, you've got that also. So not only do you have the cell phone technicians, you have the DNA technicians, but you also have a living live witness who's just a normal person who could put that him who's sick, you know, Yerman, who's like 6'5", 300 pounds as an ogre, you put an apt description, you put him at the scene 24 hours before his girlfriend disappears. And so therefore it brings it back down from all the high level stuff, technical stuff, all the way back down to the ground where you're talking about ground level, a girl goes missing. And I think that's fantastic, but it's gonna be a quite a lengthy trial.
No, absolutely. I just wanna put up on the screen here, this is a history of Valerie Mack. Valerie Mack was last seen by her family in the spring, summer of 2000 in the area of Port Republic, New Jersey. She was never listed as a missing person. Her last known address was in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area where she had been working as an escort. She used the name Melissa Taylor. Valerie was a white female with brown hair and hazel eyes, 5 feet tall, weighing 100 pounds. On November 19, 2000, the body of a woman was discovered by hikers in the Long Island Pine Barrens in Manorville near Halsey Manor Road. The body had been cut into pieces and placed in plastic bags. It was estimated that she had been dead for several weeks before being found. The victim was a white woman, possibly in her 30s, with brown hair. She was referred to as Manorville Jane Doe. On April 4th, 2011, a skull, hands, and a right foot were found in a plastic bag along Ocean Parkway near Gilgo Beach. These remains would be designated as Jane Doe number 6 until being leaked by DNA to the Manorville Jane Doe. On May 22nd, 2020, police on Long Island announced they had identified the Manorville Jane Doe and will be releasing her identity. A week later, an update was released. Her name was Valerie Mack. So those are some of the details in regards to the rather sad life of Valerie Mack. And in these, almost all of these victims, the life of an escort is usually not a happy one, you know. No one chooses that. It chooses them some way. Perhaps they go into it because they don't have choices in life, and it becomes just something that they need to do to survive. And when we look at this case and the victims, all of the victims in this case, and specifically on the screen, the Gilgo Four, Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Melissa Bartolome, Megan Waterman, and Amber Costello, all from similar backgrounds, escorts, and all wound up dead because of, in this case, the profession they chose. Because in this case, Rex Ullman was only targeting escorts, as far as we could see, as far as we know right now in this investigation. That was his modus operandi. Target escorts. Target sex workers. Is that part of his psychosexual disorder? That's who he targets? And is that what makes him a serial killer? This derangement, this psychosexual disorder. And I'm getting out of my lane a little bit, because I'm certainly not an expert on serial killers. I wish I had Dr. Joni here or Jim Clemente, who are experts in this field. But I just want to throw some of those questions out there, because as we proceed with this case, we're learning so much more about Rex Heuermann. And now on Thursday, you have to really, wonder what else has Rex Heuermann done in his lifetime, his 60 years on this earth, that even occurred before the year 2000. And I was hoping, and this may still be a possibility, when he gets convicted, and I really believe he's going to get convicted, will he then come clean and cooperate after he gets sentenced to life in prison without parole? Because that is one of the ways that we could find out about additional victims that the police have no idea about at this moment. Mike, I want to go to final words, your final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I think this is a great development. And I think, you know, all that Chief Rodney Harrison did a couple of years ago, starting off with Ray Tierney back in 2021, and reconstituted the task force, was a great thing. They're working hard. Everybody's on the same page, finally, and everything is clicking. The fact that they got the Chevy Avalanche information within 2 months by a New York State trooper. It goes to show you how much work there was to do and how much work actually got done and how effective a task force can really be, because everybody's a force multiplier, because you have all these different agencies working hand in hand. This is fantastic. And we're going to get a lot more information on Rex Heuermann. And the fact that if it is what we think is Valerie Mack and Ms. Taylor, if these are the indictments that are handed down, it really goes back in time, a quarter of a century almost, to what we thought earlier. So therefore, it begs the question, who was now before them, even back in maybe the late 90s and things like that? Opens up every time you get a question answered, it opens up, you know, more questions. The more you know, the more questions you have. So this is fantastic stuff. So everyone, just keep in touch and see what happens on Thursday.
Well said, Mike. I think this, you know, as much as this case is horrific in what happened, it's interesting as hell. It really is. It's so interesting. And in this day and age, serial killers are very rare because of the technology we have, because of video cameras, because of evidence, because of cell phones. All of those things make the likelihood that someone can get away with multiple murders rare, quite rare. But yet, this happened. And there are still serial killers across this country, and there always will be, but there's not a proliferation of these type of murders and these type of killers, these type of serial killers, because of what I just stated. Folks, you know, we're going to stay with this case, and because it is absolutely, I think it is absolutely fascinating. And for the true crime community, of course, but we always have to remember what these cases are about. And right there, that's what the case is about. There are real victims. There are real families of victims. These are real people. They're not just posters that you see of these victims. And if you make it even bigger, there's more victims that perhaps we will connect one day to the Gilgo Beach serial killer, Rex Heuermann. And that we can just all hope for and pray for. But until that day, we're going to stay on this case. We probably will do, if the press conference is live, perhaps we will go live on Thursday at the time of the press conference. But folks, I want to thank everyone for tuning in today. Don't forget to subscribe to Police Off the Cuff. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube. And remember, we're Police Off the Cuff, real crime stories, true crime from a police perspective. Have a great day, everyone, and God bless.
Good night. One episode just ain't enough.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
If you're on the lookout for true crime stories told from a fresh perspective with nuance, depth, and detail, I have a new show for you. Check out Murder, True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. From the shocking Chandra Levy case and infamous Tylenol murders to the tragic deaths of the Clutter family, each episode focuses on a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Listen in every Tuesday as the show dives into the darkest corners of true crime, unraveling chilling narratives, examining compelling clues, and most importantly, seeking the truth. What sets Murder True Crime Stories apart is the focus on humanizing the victims and the effect their deaths had on their families, friends, and community. We'll always leave with the knowledge of why their stories need to be heard. There's a story behind every murder, but is there an ending? New episodes of Murder True Crime Stories release every Tuesday. Just search for Murder True Crime Stories on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy, all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle, follow your Crave.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.